Our scripture lesson today is long, okay? I'm just telling you, it's long. I didn't pick it out. It was lectionary reading. It's the entire chapter 9 of the Gospel of John, 41 verses. So buckle your seatbelts, try to pay attention. And it's up here on the screen, and it's at home if you're listening. It's in your bulletin. John 9, verses 1 to 41. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. And then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he," and others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept saying, "Then how were your eyes opened?" And he answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' And then I went and washed and received my sight." And they said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know." I just think that's so funny because it's like, dude, I was blind. How could I know where he is? Verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind, and now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. And then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." And he said, "He's a prophet." And the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked him, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" And his parents answered, "Well, we know this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He'll speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. And therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been born blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." And he answered, "I do not know whether he's a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." And they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." And the man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." And they answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he said, "And who is he, sir, tell me so that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, surely we are not blind, are we? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, we see, your sin remains. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As I said before, this is a massive scripture. And there's so many ways you could go with it. I think if I calculated that if I spent 1 minute on each verse, we would all be here till 12:30. So I'm not going to do that. But you got to make some choices, you know. And what's really interesting is it's only the first seven verses here of these 41 that have to do with the healing of the man. And everything else after that, the next 34 verses, are about everybody being upset about that. First, the neighbors are upset about it, and then the Pharisees are upset about it. So I had to make some choices in what I wanted to talk about here, and I finally settled on the whole issue of healing, because we don't talk about it enough. And, you know, when we talk about Jesus as Savior, the word Savior comes from a Greek word that can also mean healer. The verb is sozo, and when anytime you see anybody where it says be saved or whatever, you could also translate that be healed. And same thing with Savior. You could say Savior can also be healer. And so that's one of the primary things about Jesus, was that he was a healer and that God is a healer too. And we tend to get away from that. It's kind of like the Pharisees. We like to talk about the doctrine of it. We like to, you know, kind of postulate whether it's possible in this day or age for God to heal. And so I just thought, like, let's talk about healing and let's see what this passage says about healing. And so what I'd like to do today, you know, it is Lent. This is the fourth Sunday in Lent, and Lent is a time for introspection, and a lot of times it's introspection about our sins. But I would like us to turn that today and look at a different thing. Today, I want you to think about where you need to be healed. You yourself, and not somebody else, you, in your own life. Where do you need to be healed? What has been injured in you? Or another way to say that is what is your affliction, your hurt? There's been a lot of tragedies in our community of late, and you could be hurting from that. Your injury could be over loss or grief. Your injury could be over an actual disease that you're having to deal with, that you're having to take, you know, chemo or infusions or something. It could be addictions. It could be depression. It could be eating disorders. It could be anger. So where do you need healing? Keep that in front of you today. So it doesn't become like, you know, this theoretical thing about Jesus healing the blind man, but that you and I can think back on how we need to be healed. And what can this scripture today tell us about God healing us? Okay, you ready for that? So I found five things in here, and there could be many more. But the first one is this, and it's from the very first verse. Your hurt, your thing that needs to be healed, or your affliction, is not God's punishment for your sin. If you're hurting and you have a place that needs to be healed, it is not God's punishment for something that you did. And to start with verse 1, as Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth, and the disciples asked, Rabbi, who sinned? Right? That's their only question. Who sinned? This And really, that you can't blame them. This is what they've been taught. This is what the Old Testament taught them. It's what they learned in Sunday school. They didn't have Sunday school. But it's what they learned. And so they're trying to get Jesus to talk about why things happen, you know, evil in the world, or why natural, terrible things happen, somebody being born blind. And they say, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So there's just those two options. And they want to hear Jesus to talk about it. And you can kind of see, not only were they taught that, but there is ways that our sin injures us and other people. Okay? So, I mean, you can kind of, if somebody is married and they commit adultery and they get a divorce and they end up lonely and really in bad financial straits, because every time you get divorced, you have your net worth. That's a result of that adultery. That's a result of that sin, okay? So sin does have an effect that hurts us. There's no doubt about that. And sometimes the sin of other people injures us. I'm a parent. I'm also a grandparent. And I had parents. And, man, it's so easy for me to think about the problems I have in my personality and go, that's my dad right there, you know. he did that, you know. But yet there are things in our lives that are caused by other people. There are hurts in our lives that are caused by other people. Children who are physically abused or sexually abused grow up with big wounds. Those two things are true. But this was a different situation. This was a guy who was born blind from birth. And they were quoting the Old Testament scripture. Well, you know, somebody must have sinned because all this stuff is caused by sin. And it's not. It's not always caused by sin. Sometimes we are, as Lady Gaga says, born this way. So first, your hurt of affliction is not God's punishment on you for your sin. Second, your hurt or affliction is a chance. Now, this is hard to say and to hear. But your hurt or affliction is a chance for God's glory to be shown. It's a way to reveal God's glory. So if it's not God's punishment, then what is it? Why do we have these things that's hurt us, and why are we wounded this way? And verse 3, Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. Now that's, to me, I don't know about you, but that's kind of a hard thing to hear, that you had these wounds, you had these afflictions, so that God's glory will be revealed in us. I remember I had a friend in college who was blind. He was legally blind. He went to Wake Forest, and he was in our Christian fellowship. And we hung out with him, and we taught him how to play Frisbee. He had about 10% vision. And he could do light from dark. So we would throw the Frisbee at him so it would come up right in front of him like that, and he would get it, you know. And he was part of our group. I mean, we included him in everything. And he was a Christian. He read his Bible. And he decided that being born blind, he was born blind, was part of God's plan for him, for his witness. But it took him a very long time to get there. I think when we have these things, it's not just that, okay, God's afflicting us so God looks good, which is a very kind of simplistic way of looking at it, but that in the process of us dealing with it, in the process of us coping with these injuries and this pain and this healing, that we ourselves start to see God's glory, that in our life God becomes more evident. We begin to feel God's healing, God's presence, and it builds us up. It shows God's glory. And that is a relationship, and that takes time. It takes time to get there. But that is not, it's the opposite of what the disciples were saying. You know, is it this guy's sin or his parents? No, it is so these afflictions, it may not be that God intended that, but God sure does use it. God sure does use it and uses it, us to bring us along in our relationship with God, and to be a witness, a testimony to everybody else out there. And so your story, believe it or not, whatever your hurt is a witness of God's love and God's care for you. And that there will be a day when you can talk about that in that way. The other thing that I think is really, and I pointed out this verse, but I just think it's so great. There's all this theological discussion going on and all these things about whether Jesus could do this on the Sabbath and everything. And they're saying, you know, say this man is a sinner because he obviously doesn't care about the Sabbath. And the blind man is just so, you know, he's just like straight up dude. And he goes, I don't know whether he's a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. That's all I know. I was blind, and now I see. That's all. That's it. And that is the testimony, when you can say, okay, here's where I was, here's what was happening, and now I'm here. And who do we give credit to for that? We give credit to God for that. God did that. You know, Will Willimon was pastor of the Duke Chapel for a long time, and I heard him preach on this passage. And he was talking about, in one of his early churches, he had a guy who just had terrible addiction problems. And he would go to, you know, rehab for one drug and then come out and end up, you know, going to alcohol and having to go to AA. And then he'd go from there to another drug. He lost his wife and his family, and he ended up in all these halfway houses. And then he started coming to church. And everybody knew him. They all had him pigeonholed as, you know, he's the drunk or he's whatever. And he was sober. And they said, what happened to you? And he said, I had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And he healed me. And that church didn't know what to do with it. Because they had him, he was the drunk. He was the addict. And so they needed him to be that so that they could not be that. And so all this negative stuff started coming, just like with this guy. Is like, well, if that was Jesus, why didn't he come earlier where he still had a wife? You know, stuff like that. Catty stuff. And but this guy, all he says is, just like that thing, all I know is this. Once I was blind, and now I see. And that's the story that gives glory to God. And that's what your story can be. That's what your story can be when you begin to engage God and help and heal you from those things. Okay, first, your affliction is not God's punishment. Second, your affliction is a chance to reveal the glory of God. And third, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but your healing will probably take some time. It will take time. Think about this guy. He's born into blindness. Jesus did not show up at his second birthday party. Jesus did not show up at his 10th birthday party. Jesus did not show up when he got his, well, he didn't get a driver's license, never mind. but he showed up. And so that healing process took a long time. I am not a very patient person. You know, I'll give you a little thing. This is so minor. But just this year, I've started having pain in my right knee. Y'all might see me hobbling a little bit. And I was thinking, trying to get rid of it, you know. And so Paul Rush, the orthopedist, called me up, wanted me to play golf on a team for the Live Like Madison tournament. And I said, well, Paul, I've got this knee problem. I need to see my orthopedist. And he said, okay, well, be in my office tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. And so I went down there, and they x-rayed it. And I thought it was like a tendon or something. And he said, no, you just got arthritis. It's arthritis in your knee. And I said, well, how'd I get it? He said, just living as long as you did. And so now I'm asking God, cure my knee, you know? And it's an ongoing process. I have good days and bad days, you know? And, you know, there's medical interventions that can be done. Yeah, and I took some Aleve this morning. That helps a lot. I'm feeling pretty good. But all I'm saying is that these things take time. Don't expect, okay, I'm healed. You know, and I used to be in charismatic fellowships, and people got healed all the time, and then they were sick right after that. You know, I mean, I think what God works with us so that we have this ongoing relationship of prayer with God, and as we're seeking God every day for my knee or whatever it is, God is answering. God is answering. And that gives us this relationship of prayer with God. Just remember, though, and this is the important part. I don't think I'll say this too many times in this sermon. God heals. It's true. God does heal. It happens. And it'll happen to you, too. God heals. And that is at the basis of this. And I'm giving you all these kind of parts of what I see in this text today. But God does heal. Jesus' name is Jesus the Savior or Jesus the Healer. And so don't back away from that, of asking God to heal you. Okay, here's the fourth one. And I think this is absolutely key. And the fourth thing in here is your healing requires you to participate. Your healing requires you to participate. God doesn't want to do it by itself, just poof it. God wants you to be a partner. So Jesus didn't say you're healed to the man, right? He didn't just come up to him and go, okay, you're healed, right? He didn't say that. He gave this guy a task, a way to share in his healing. So if you look at verse 7, verse 6, he said, when he said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes. So that's Jesus's part. Jesus did that. And then he said to the man, go, wash. Those are two imperatives, go and wash, in the pool of Siloam. And then he went and he washed and he received his sight. And it's a very interesting question. If that guy had not moved from his spot where he just went, just heal me. I don't want to go to that pool, just heal me. Whether it would have happened or not. What I think Jesus wanted, I mean, you think about it too, but I think Jesus wanted to know if that guy wanted to be healed. Because a lot of times we get comfortable in our weakness. We get comfortable with our problems. You know, it's a common story that people who have children who have handicaps and get used to being their caretaker, that when the kid's handicap is cured and they're overcome, they don't want it. They don't know what to do with their lives anymore. They need that. And sometimes we get very accustomed to our weakness. We get very accustomed to our pain. And what Jesus is trying to do with this guy is, you want to sit here the rest of your life? I know you're used to it. I know everybody knows you like this. Do you want to change? If you do, then you're going to have to stand up. You're going to have to walk without any sight, right? He hadn't received a sight yet, to the pool, if you can find it, and then wash in the pool. And that guy had to do that. And so what that says to me is that God wants us to participate in our healing. That it's not just enough for you to lean back and go, God, do it, just do it. I'm here, do it. I'm not feeling it yet. What God wants us to do is participate, to be a partner in our own healing. So what does that mean? When God says, let's do it together, let's heal you together, what does that mean? I think it's worth thinking about, what is your pool of Siloam? What is your pool of Siloam? What is the pool you need to get up and go and wash in? What is your part of your healing? I mean, it's a lot of, you know, maybe you need to see a therapist regularly and you don't want to, but that's your part of it. Maybe it means following your doctor's orders for your therapy, if it's a physical therapy or a mental therapy. You need to follow up what the doctor says. Maybe it means seeking your medication out, or finding a medication, or following through and taking a medication for what you've got going on. Maybe your pool of Siloam, the thing you need to do to heal, is you need to forgive. You need to forgive someone to be able to heal. And that is, man, that is so hard. That is about as hard as it gets. But that's the fourth thing. God wants us to do this together, not just by ourselves. And that, when you think about that thing at the very beginning of the sermon, where do you need to be healed? at the same time, and God heals. God is real, and God heals us. But what is your part? How are you going to do that with God? How are you going to participate in your own healing? Those are the five I got out of here. I think it's pretty challenging, really, for any of us. There's, you know, I feel for so many people in our community right now who are hurting for various reasons. And I want to help with their healing too. You know, that's, you know, we didn't even talk about the community and this thing. But think about what Jesus wants to do with you. I heard this wonderful talk on this by a Catholic priest named Michael Renninger. And listen to what he says about the blind man. He said, Jesus, the light of the world, helps this man to see everything clearly, not just on a physical level, but in every way. Jesus helps this man to see that he is deeply loved by the God who created him. Jesus helps this man to see that God the Father does not want him to live with shame and guilt. Jesus helps this man to see that his parents are beloved by God. Jesus helps this man to see that the darkness of his past life cannot control his present or his future. Jesus helps this man to see that no darkness, not sin, not guilt, not fear, nor darkness of confusion or anger, no darkness is stronger than Jesus' light. And Jesus helps him to see that even when everyone else is casting him aside and telling him he is not worthy or welcome, God's response is staring him in the face, you are deeply loved, and you are a child of God, created in God's image. And that's what God wants to say to you and me today. Whatever your hurt, whatever your wound, whatever is afflicting you this morning, you are deeply loved, and you are a child of God, created in God's image. I want to have a prayer, but it's not going to be the little ending prayer I usually do. I want to have a prayer for healing, okay? I want us to pray for healing. And I'm going to pray out loud, and you pray. I'd like you to pray for yourself, because you know. I mean, we keep a good face up for everybody else, but you know what in you needs to be healed. And just remember, it's real. God heals. God does heal and wants you to be a part of that. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, there are so many different ways that we are hurting today. So many people have been carrying burdens and injuries for a long time. Some of our injuries are recent, but really painful. And Lord, for everybody here, I want to just ask for you to heal. Heal them where they're hurting right now as they reach out to you, as they say what it is. Whatever their hurt is, and however far back it goes, we ask today, Lord, that you would heal us as Jesus healed the blind man. Reach out to us, touch us. Help us to be patient. Help us to give you glory. Work on our relationship with you as you heal. But Lord, we ask, heal us, please. In Jesus' name.